Pinch-hitting for Franz Borghardt is one Richard Sprinkle. He joins us now. How are you, man?
Great, Brian. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very well as well. It's one of the bigger stories in the last, well, half dozen years, I guess.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. On and off, on again, off again. Federal prosecutors told family members Tuesday they will not bring charges in the deadly 2019 arrest of Ronald Green, closing the books on a lengthy FBI investigation into, white troopers, black driver, stunned, punched, dragged on a roadside, allegations of an attempted cover-up by the Louisiana State Police. All started with Ronald Green running after being, trying to get away after being pulled over. That part of the story got lost very early on. It wasn't like it just didn't start with a regular traffic stop.
No.
So not that we need to rehash that part of it. U.S. Department of Justice informed Green's family members of the decision, as officials were also preparing to release findings from a broader civil rights investigation that found a pattern of state troopers using excessive force, according to officials familiar with the inquiry. We've only got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes till break. So I want to start this conversation now and then pick it up and really dig in on the
right
side.
Right.
It feels like when you start to read those two paragraphs, you're closing the book.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, are we opening another book?
It sure looks that way. And it's almost contradictory. On the one hand, we say we're not going to bring charges against these individual officers.
Right.
But over here, we see a pattern in practice
right
amongst the department as a whole. Where does that leave us?
The official spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity because they cannot publicly discuss details ahead of an announcement expected later in the week.
Right.
That's the rest of the second paragraph of the story.
Sure.
I can't help but feel like the world's about to flip upside down on the Louisiana State Police.
I have a feeling it is.
Okay.
I have a feeling.
Then I'm not alone on that.
No.
The pattern or practice inquiry launched in 2022 followed an AP investigation that found Green's arrest was among at least a dozen cases in which state troopers and their bosses ignored or concealed evidence of beatings, deflected blame, and impeded efforts to root out misconduct in the agency. In one case, a white trooper pummeled a black man 18 times with a flashlight following a traffic stop, leaving him with a broken jaw, broken ribs, and a gash to his head.
Mm.
Franz Borghardt is out. Richard Sprinkle is in, which, by the way, thank you for pinch hitting 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, no worries, man. Franz is out globetrotting again.
I know. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
He's,
one day I want to be like him when I grow up.
He's kind of everywhere. So.
I know.
I don't know how. It is a difficult task to be Franz Borghardt, but he takes it on. We got our lead story this morning as far as legally served is concerned. Federal prosecutors told family members yesterday they're not going to bring charges in the deadly 2019 arrest of Ronald Green. We're talking with Richard about this. Let's start with the officers who are not going to be charged here.
Right.
Are they done?
They are done from a criminal standpoint because there's already a state case, right?
Yeah.
So if there's now not going to be a federal case, well, then the criminal proceedings have gone as far as they're going to go.
Okay. Criminal means if we're done with that, we move on to civil.
Right.
Okay. You were telling me something during the break that sounded very interesting.
Well, there was a wrongful death suit filed a long time ago.
Right.
So, that suit is out there and that's what I refer to as a live ball. But the reality is there's only two officers left in the state proceedings, right? State criminal proceedings.
Yep.
One's out. I'm sorry. There's only one left. And the one that got out, pled no contest, nolo contendere, whatever you want to call it. And it is anticipated that the one that's remaining is going to be taking the exact same plea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what those are is it's a no contest plea. So in criminal court, you're basically saying, I did it, but I'm not admitting guilt. I just want this wrapped up,
right,
so to speak. It sounds ambiguous, and it should because it feels ambiguous. But there's a trick about that. There's a big trick. A no contest plea is inadmissible in a civil case as evidence. So in a criminal case, let's say somebody's convicted of a DUI, then there's going to be a civil case against them as well. And that DUI conviction is going to work against them in the civil case. It's way more evidence to show, look how drunk this guy was and how negligent he was,
right,
or girl. I don't want to be sexist about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, Louisiana Code of Evidence Article 410 is going to say, nope, you can't use that against him in the civil case.
Then where would a civil case build its case from?
Well, it's still going to have the case. It's still going to have the case because they're going to be able to show all this other stuff. The one thing they can't bring in is the no contest plea.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So they don't get to use that to bolster the case. It doesn't make the case go away.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. But if you can't use guilt in the civil case, then...
Well, then you just have to prove beyond a preponderance. Remember, you've got two different standards. On mm-hmm. the criminal side, you've got to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the toughest standard under the law, et cetera, et cetera. On a civil side, you only have to prove things by a preponderance, which is anything greater than 50%. So if there's any likelihood this guy did it more than not, mm-hmm. then you win in the civil side.
On that civil side, are these officers individuals on the civil side, or is it with the cases filed? Is it one big, like, we're charging everybody together?
I would imagine, I haven't read the suit, but I would imagine it names each officer individually, and it probably names Louisiana. Well, I guarantee it names the state of Louisiana. It names the Louisiana State Patrol. In a civil case, you name every defendant you can
just
to make sure you have the right people left at the end of the day.
And as far as that's concerned, I mean, it's... These guys are state troopers. It's right. Not like they've got the deepest pockets around.
No. But what will typically happen is they'll get financially indemnified by the agency. The agency will step in and cover it. It's not like you're going to, because you sue these folks in their own capacity, acting as a Louisiana state trooper. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing both in.
Attorney Richard Sprinkles in with us for Legally Served. Let's move from the individual officers over to what's coming next. And you and I both kind of think the same thing here, that sometime later on this week, the world's going to flip upside down. Because the article per the Associated Press says, U.S. Justice Department informed Green's family of the decision as officials were also preparing to release findings from a broader civil rights investigation that found a pattern of state troopers using excessive force.
Right.
The story goes on to describe four or five different instances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many it takes to declare a pattern, but if you get four or five within one article, odds are there's more we don't know about.
Right.
Odds are that the word pattern can pretty quickly be established.
So the magic words here are pattern and practice, right? Meaning it's just standard operating procedure. It's how they do things. It's normal course of business for an agency to operate in a certain way. That's what finding a pattern in practice really is. And it's kind of confusing that on the one hand, we're not filing any federal charges, but on the other hand, we're determining that there is a pattern in practice. And that hasn't come out yet, but there's a strong suspicion that it's going to come out in the next couple of days.
Well, yeah, the article itself said...
They were anonymous folks that were...
The official spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity because they could not publicly discuss details ahead of an announcement expected later in the week. Is getting rid of the federal charges for the individual officers just part of saying, we're about to fry a bigger fish? Like, they don't
possible.
Want to focus on the individual officers if they feel like the problem's that much bigger. That's what I'm taking from it.
Right, and that's probably a good take on it because you don't want... What you wouldn't want is for these individual officers, regardless of what happened, you wouldn't want them to be the quote-unquote scapegoats for everything that happens in the department.
Right.
And all I can say is two words. Well, it's a few more than two words. Remember when NOPD had to operate under the consent decree?
What? All the way up to yesterday?
Yeah.
They're actually still in it for a few more years. Yeah,
I think they are. Well, that could be what happens here. I don't know.
Consent decree for state police?
Possible.
Okay. Oh, man, there's so much more to talk about. I wanted to talk about what this would look like as far as, like, timelines are concerned and whatnot because of how deep this is, how deep this runs.
Right.
As far as the number of examples they've already given and whatnot. I mean, stories that I hadn't heard of before. Ronald Green garners so many headlines. But, I mean, within this Associated Press story, they talk about state police. No, that's part of the Ronald Green part. I'm not going to try and scroll through in real time. My eyes aren't that quick, that good.
Right.
But there are numerous instances, and I don't know that it's enough to say this is, you said pattern and practice.
Yeah, that's the magic.
To me,
those are the magic words.
If you're state police, it's easy to say no. Like, even if you've got two dozen, three dozen instances, there's no way to prove that it's practice, right?
Three dozen instances?
Out of how many thousands of interactions do state police have?
It's leaning towards pattern and practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, if you've got on, like, let's say on any given day, state police interact with, I don't know, a couple hundred people.
Sure.
Over the course of, I don't know how long, like, let's just say 6 years, like, when, let's go back to the beginning of the Ronald Green thing. If you've got that period of time, you're talking about tens of thousands
right.
of interactions.
Right.
Something that happens 36 times out of 10,000, I don't know how you call that a pattern.
That's going to be
walk me through it.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be how they get there. Okay. You're never going to know. That's the whole point here. You're never going to know how many times this actually occurred.
Right.
All you've got is what's been reported and what's bubbled up to the surface.
So if I'm state police, what's my angle here? What's my defense?
If you're state police, you're going to argue, well, there's only X number, like you said.
Okay.
Right. Like Attorney Brian said over here, there's only X number of things. Right. So you can't establish a pattern that way. But on the prosecutorial side, they're going to say, oh, but yes, we can, because, you know, they'll look at other studies that have happened in other jurisdictions. And long story short, it's just going to be a number per capita type of analysis.
Legally served. Attorney Richard Sprinkle continuing right now. We've pivoted over to investigating state police.
Right.
As a whole. And one of the questions I was asking you is, how do you prove what is now I forgot.
Pattern in practice.
Pattern in practice. So, Richard, you know, my mind is always like, it's either going to be a sports analogy or a movie, right?
I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
I can't help but go back to A Few Good Men here, okay? When you talk about pattern in practice, there's nothing in the police academy.
Nope.
There's nothing in a training manual. There's nothing taught in a classroom. You don't sit and look at a slideshow where the Louisiana State Police are going to teach troopers to beat the bejesus out of somebody to within an inch of their life. That is not the quote-unquote practice Mm-mm. of the state police. So how do you prove that it's practice? How do you show that, and here's where we flip to the movie, how do you show that Jessup ordered the code red?
Well, what you show is that this similar behavior has happened on numerous times, and on those numerous times, or many, many of those numerous times, the department ignored it, investigated it, hid it, covered it up, you know, disposed of body cam, those types of things. So it's, I believe, another agency who had some officers in similar issues.
You know what? Yeah, well, I don't know if we're going to have time to talk
about
that.
We're not going to have time to talk about those guys.
No, it's, but that was
but not you know who either. I'm talking about.
Yeah, no. So you're taking it back to the Brave Cave.
Right. Right. SCU, similar stuff.
There's a lot of similarities there.
Right.
But getting back around to the pattern and practice part of this is that if your quarterback goes out and throws three interceptions, you can't pin that on the offensive coordinator. The quarterback acted, not the
– What if the pattern in practice is not the bad acts, but the pattern in practice is the agency covering it up?
There you go. Now you're cooking with
gas. There you go.
Because – how many times do you hear that phrase? It's not the action, it's the cover-up.
Right.
So.
It's not that you did it, it's that you lied about it. Parents tell their kids that.
Yeah. Mean, come on. No. Yeah. Oh. As a parent, it's very, very true.
Absolutely.
It's the lie that ticks the parent off a lot more. You screwed up. There's no screw-up you can't come to me with. Don't lie
about it. It's all the circle of life.
Yep. That's. Okay. Is the cover-up easier to prove than the pattern in practice?
The cover-up is – an individual cover-up is pretty easy to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to it.
Right.
Multiple cover-ups lead to a pattern in practice of covering things up.
That's
so
what I mean.
So they walk hand in hand. You just need multiple cover-ups. Prove multiple cover-ups, and you're proving a pattern in practice.
What kind of repercussions are we looking at here?
Well – NOPD is operating under a consent decree, and that could be what happens here. Typically, when DOJ finds a pattern and practice of misconduct, they have to work with the agency to resolve the issues. And a lot of times it comes out as a consent decree if they come to an agreement on how things should work.
I don't know of an instance where an entity operates better under the consent decree than it did on its own. As awful as things can be looked at, as awful as they can actually be, nothing's more effective under a consent decree than it was on its own.
I can't really speak to that. I've only experienced, or I didn't experience it personally, but I've only seen it in practice the one time.
Oh, no, and
I'm
not speaking, like, empirically, like I've got some large-based study, or just anecdotally, like, from the time that NOP went under the consent decree till now, NOPD has been progressively worse.
Mm-hmm, right.
Ineffective. And you look at other consent decrees, getting outside of law enforcement, too. It just, what you look at is, when you have someone who is essentially in control of an entity,
right,
but they don't have skin in the game,
exactly,
it doesn't run the same because they're not looking. They're looking at a different set of parameters by which to judge effectiveness. Cops are looking at keeping the streets safe.
Right.
Okay? A consent decree will be looking to keep the cops clean.
Policing
the police.
Clean
is the wrong word, but yes.
Policing the police.
Right. And then how effective can a policeman be with that over his shoulder?
Had the same issue in the military, ROE, rules of engagement, where, we're told to go out. I was in the Marines. We're taught to, go out and locate, close with, and destroy the enemy. And then all of a sudden somebody's like, well, hang on. Don't do all that stuff you're trained to do. So it's similar, not the exact same difference, but it's similar. I'm sure there's officers that feel their hands are tied when there's a consent decree in place. I'm positive of it.
No.
And would that make certain people less effective? I'm sure it would.
Yeah. Wrongful death lawsuit, the civil suit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a timeline on that, do we?
No, we really don't. But those things typically get held in abeyance until the criminal side is done. So if the criminal side, well, we know there's not going to be federal criminal, so
right,
that's done. So the minute this last man standing takes his plea, that's over with, and they'll move it forward. And since we all know what he's going to plead, they might as well move it forward now anyway.
That's
no real point in waiting.
There's going to be a lot to talk about as these things continue to bubble up. I mean, when you talk about just the way this story teased what's to come.
Oh, yeah.
Putting it all on a tee for that.
I think Friday is going to be an interesting news day.
As do I. He's Attorney Richard Sprinkle, filling in for Franz Borchard. Man, I really, really appreciate it.
I love being here, man. Anytime.
Oh, you always do a great job as well.